Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While he warned of the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not his mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasure of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercy of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? The cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily down trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God.
Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Just read his word and pray till you pray through. Don't be when trials come on to you, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Just read his word and pray till you pray true. Don't be dismayed when trials come unto you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Just read his word and pray till you pray true. Don't be dismayed
when trials come unto you, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look o'er to His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim, and the light of His glory and grace. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look o'er to His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim, and the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look far to His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim, and the light of His glory and grace. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing out His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there the place of everlasting joy and peace, where the tree of life is blooming there forever, and the crown of life is waiting there for me. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing out His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. This Savior's mansion there inside that city, a crystal river flowing by the tree of life. No pain or disappointment there to hurt us, and Jesus Christ Himself will be the light. That sounds like hope to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing out His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. They say there's mansions there inside that city, a crystal river flowing by the tree of life. No pain or disappointment there to hurt us, and Jesus Christ Himself will be the light. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing out His grace and glory, things of God will be. That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing out His praise and glory. Where the saints of God will be, that sounds like home to me. Going home, going home, there is nothing to hold me here. I got a glimpse of that heavenly home. Great God, I'm going home. Going home, going home. There is nothing to hold me here. I got a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise going home, going home. There is nothing to hold me here. 'Cause I got a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home.
We didn't always have it as good as we have now. I tell you, I went through my hard days back in the day. I was not a happy camper, but I know I was just following the Lord. He takes you through pretty rugged waters. Now, we're standing on the mountain, looking back, I can see how His strong hand was leading us. He was leading us out of that compound, and we had to make choices in life, you know, pretty tough choices, and it was not a happy camper. You got a young family at home, and they terminate you, they take you away from that, and I'm complaining. It's just the way the Lord had to drag me through all that to teach me what I know now. Today, you and I, we know what we're talking about. We're not making things up. You know, we can worship Him in spirit and truth, and we know we're on the right track, and we refuse to be misguided, because if everybody did what we did, but see, you can't give it to people, because mm-hmm. you have to walk through it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We've made pretty tough choices in life, and now we there's no two people that have it better than you. God gave us each other to continue on the journey, and we got a lot to be grateful for, and at the end of the day, that's all we are. We're just grateful that the Lord saw fit to put us through this, to allow us to go through in life what we went through. My son stopped in here. He has to pick up a parcel, and then he let us know. He was over to visit his mom, enrolling in one of these compounds. And I guess she's not doing too good, you know, and I thought about that a little bit. You know, she's got Alzheimer's, and then she's got cancer, and oh, she's got all kinds of health issues. And I remember back in the day, before the Lord put me on this journey, He made sure that I tried for 12 years to direct her towards the heavenly, towards where you and I are at. And she just the fish don't bite, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't force this stuff on a person. Somebody, you have to make a choice in life. Mm-hmm. And the Lord moved on me. One time, my daughter, she was about maybe 9 years old or somewhere there, and she got ear infection. Mm-hmm. And so I told you before, but somebody had ear infection in the colony, in that riverbank colony, a little girl died from ear infection. So my wife said, Karen has ear infection, you should take up to the doctor. Well, you know me, I go to the doctor as a last resort. So I said, Lord, okay, is there anything we can do for her? So the Lord told me, just go lay hands on her, and I'll heal her. It's just that simple. Because I go to the Lord first, and if there's nothing that the Lord will do, sometimes he'll make you go to the doctor, like for my case. Anyway, so I went, she's down in the basement, so I went down, and I was just going to lay hands, and the Lord said, bring her mom down here so she can witness that. So I said, Mom, can you come down here? And then I just, when she was standing in the doorway there, I laid hands on the girl, and I could feel something from heaven go right through the top of my head into my hand, and I knew that girl was instantly healed, just in a heartbeat, just because I told her to the Lord, Lord, is there anything we can do for her? And he'd heal her right there on the spot, and she was completely healed, and she experienced it. She witnessed all that, see, these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Like I said, I tried for 12 years to show her that there's something more than that Hutterite thing. And the harder I tried, the more she put the brakes on. Then one day I was working for the neighbor. I was already terminated, but I was still driving back and forth. And then one day I was working for the neighbor, and about early in the morning, shortly after 8, the Lord let me know there's something going on at home. You need to go home. So I got off the tractor and I drove home, and here my dad comes out of the house, white as a sheet, and white as a ghost, and I knew there's something going on here. So I walked in, and Jennifer's mom, she said, there's something wrong with Jennifer. She's out there just laying limp. So I said, Lord, what can we do for her? The Lord said, just go touch her, and I'll heal her. And then I just went in, I laid my hands on her. I could see, these signs shall follow them that believe. I'm a believer. I believe in God. And God, see what God was doing, he was trying to show her that, Sam, he's a believer. Mm-hmm. You just got to trust him. And then she never mentioned it. And then the girl, 5 minutes later, the little girl was out there having breakfast. She was only about a year old, maybe a little bit older than a year. And she witnessed all that. Mm-hmm. And now she rejected that, you know. She, like I say, for 12 years, I tried my level best to do what needs to be done. And one day, I remember, I still kept going back and forth because I was already terminated. But I was trying to, it's not that easy to leave a family, a young family at home, even though these tugs, they terminated me, told me, don't have a wife, don't have a family. I still tried to make it work. So I remember one night, I looked at the thermometer, minus 39 below zero. And it was 11 o'clock at night. And the Lord just spoke to me, just right in my heart, verbal, in an audible voice, get out now or you will be destroyed. See, you can't fight around with that spirit. Mm-hmm. He had a choice to make. You're going to either trust your husband or you can go down that Hutterite way of life. And then
that's right.
And I got out of there because I knew if I'm there one more night, I have no control over that, over what people do. See, people be given a choice. God gave people a choice, and if you don't move when he tells you, and it was 39 below zero, 11 o'clock at night, luckily, I had a car outside, luckily it started, and then I had to drive all, a 3-hour drive, a 2.5-hour drive from where I was at. I knew somebody at Grundtown, I went down there, and I never looked back, you know,
yeah.
But I did my part. Mm-hmm. Now they blame me for, because he's got Alzheimer's and you should be there, this, that, and the other. Well, people have choices to make. She had a choice to make, and that's
people,
the choice she
make. And people don't know what it is to have such a hunger after the things of God,
mm-hmm.
and not being satisfied with what that religious system has to offer. And I learned very early on that what you will accumulate for yourself, you're going to have to find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to hand it to you. And that's what one of the scripture that the Lord really ingrained in me when he first saved me, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you can't trust that Hutterite system for your salvation. It is totally against the whole concept of what salvation is all about. And I had to learn earlier on, you know what, if you want something, you're going to have to fight for it yourself. Nobody's going to hand it to you, and especially not a religious system. And people don't know what that is, to have such a hunger and a longing for the things of God, and wanting to find the very thing that will satisfy it. Mm-hmm. And you knowing that religious system will not do it. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ and where God will lead. And that's just, people don't...
It's a sad thing when people make wrong choices. Mm-hmm. Like she had time and time again. I had conversations over the years, and she made a choice. And that's all, my hands are clean, you know what I'm saying? I just thought I'd mention that, because now everybody's blaming me, like I see... you can't do nothing for nobody if they don't want it.
That's right.
You
know, and where are the preachers now?
That supported her.
Yes,
that
that's right.
Where are they? Did they go and take care of her now that she's sick? No, they leave her hanging high and dry. Well, that's their problem. We moved on with the Lord. The Lord led and guided us. And I was not a happy camper. I didn't just... This stuff here that you and I are doing, it was not handed to us on a silver platter. Getting up in the morning, that's not for everybody to do that. Like, everybody can, and if they would take advice from me, I tell them, get all up in the morning, do what we're doing, and you're going to have an expected end, because when you get older, like we went to see that guy in the care home, in the hospital there, that old Jenny from Huron, he never looked for nothing spiritual in his life. But we went to visit him, now he's got people looking after him, and he has no... That's exactly what the Bible says. Seek the Creator in the days of your youth, but when you get older, then you'll have it if you seek for him when you're younger. But he never did seek him when he was younger, and now he fallen in. These things, they don't please you. Well, I can't wait to get up early in the morning and spend time with the Lord, because that's all I've done all my life. I've sought the Lord all my life, and to me, it's become a way of life and a habit. And if people would want to take advice from us, well, we got a good program, or the Lord has a good program, but it didn't fall into our lap, you know. We had to go through terrible times all by myself, all my life, ever since they tried to take me to the mental home, and then I knew I wasn't crazy, but everybody said I was, and then finally the Lord brings you on board, somebody that agrees with me, you're on the same page with me, now we're having a hallelujah time. We're just waiting to get out of here now. That's kind of like what our sub-conversation is from here on out, because our title of this is, we're ready to get out of this.
And when you look at it, that has been the whole purpose of our journey, that one day, we are going to get out of here.
Yeah.
And we were like Abraham. He was seeking for that city to come. And that was all our journey for that day, where it will arrive, where God's going to take us out of this world.
There's nothing to hold me here. That's what we want to talk about. Because God has, the last week or so, God has been shifting gears. And there's only one path. We have only one message from here on out. We're getting ready to leave this world. It's just that simple, because I know how the Lord has dealt with me. I know how he took me to the ministry of Brother Ben. I know that how I was led and guided by his Spirit. I know how he took me into the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this throughout my life, I know he's led and guided us, and then he told me to pick you up. And I know he did. And I know he told me to start up his website, put it all on the internet. And I know how he led and guided me, and then I know exactly when he told me to get up in the morning and start singing his song. He's led and guided us by his Spirit, because we say, Lord, do with us as you see. Because we don't have automatically something falls into our hands. No, you got to let the Lord lead and guide you by his Spirit. And that's what he expects from everybody. That's what he expected from Jesus. Jesus did do nothing without his Heavenly Father, and he was paving the way so that you can get through this jungle that we're living in and come out on the other end smelling like a rose. And that's what we're doing. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. We're just know that the hour is here, and one day you're not going to notice, you're going to notice there are no more daily breads. And this is our conversation. Now, as of this week, like our conversation is shifting gear. We have only one message now, the coming of the Lord. We want to get out of this world, prepare to get out of this world, and everything else is just trash, you know. Our journey is pretty much done. And we're just kind of sweeping the floor, cleaning things up a little bit, because we made choices in life. We made tough choices, but it was worth it all, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know what? Like I say, I was not a happy camper, and now it pays off. There's no better, two more people that are more blessed than you and I. The Lord gave us each other to continue on this journey, and He knew I couldn't make it by myself. And He told me to pick you up, because same way out from it, you're not going to make it. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem with it. In fact, we've been enjoying each other for since 2012, when the Lord told us to go trucking, and even before that. That's the journey we're on, and we're not looking back, because we've got nothing to look back to. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying yesterday when you read that scripture over Deuteronomy, that God does not want us to go back. Mm-hmm. Imagine going back to the compound after everything we've been through. Mm-hmm. And that's what their main theme and their main objective was, to get us back into that compound and put a feather in the devil's head.
That's right.
That's all Satan is in our life. No matter how you paint it up, I know what you're talking about. Because you only see it once you walk in the light.
That's right.
Walk in the light as He's in the light. And that's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come into Your presence, Lord. Give You thanks for this another day of life, for the many things You do for us, Lord, and have done, that we made ourselves available, Lord, and we told You to do with us as You see fit early on in our lives. And we ask, Lord, back when you were young, back in the days when you started the journeys, Lord, we told You all we want is to be faithful to what You've called us to be, to find our place in Christ. And Lord, You've been faithful and true. You've not only that, You've blessed us with innumerable blessings, Lord. You've allowed us to come together, and now we're on the same page, and we're here now in these closing days of time, just waiting for Your soon return, Lord. We know we're in a season of time, Lord, when You're going to do just that. We just pray You continue to lead in us, lead and guide us by Your Spirit. Help us to be faithful right to the end, Lord. Be with us as You see fit, because we don't have a program. We don't have an agenda. We just don't have it, Lord. It's not in us. But we ask that You continue to lead and guide us by Your Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the theme of our conversation, the coming of the Lord. We're living in that season, like I said. He's led and guided us, and here we are, and the last leg of the journey. And there's only one thing left, like I keep saying, one of these days, you're going to find out there's no more daily breads. And the reason there'll be no more daily bread, because the Lord will have come down and He's taken us out of here. See, we don't know too many people that would really miss us, you know. How many times do we have somebody coming to visit? It hardly ever happens. So they won't know whether we're gone or not, but there's only one thing they will notice. There's still a few that tap in, and then but I just want to be kind of forewarn them, you know. If daily bread cease, then there's no more daily breads out there. One thing you can be rest assured, we're not here no more to deliver them. We'll be gone. The Lord will come down here during the night or whenever He chooses to, and He'll just take us out of here, and we'll do like Him. One day one minute we'll be here, and a moment and a twinkle of an eye, and then we'll be changed. He'll give us a different body, and we'll go to immortality, and then we'll be up in glory.
That's right.
I don't know how it works, but I know it works.
Mm-hmm.
We trust the Lord. He trusted it up till now, right from back from the day when He put me on this journey. He came to me saying, I'm coming soon. I believed it, and I moved, directed by the Spirit of the living God. And like I keep saying, He told me to go up and expose that thing, bell that cat, expose that utterite system, the spirit behind it. No, I'm not talking about the people. The people who just happen to make the wrong choice in life, and they get caught up in that garbage and think they're doing God a service. And like I say, I went through their torture chambers. I know what I'm talking about, and the Lord allowed it so He could teach us something, so we have something to say here and expose that system for what it is, the spirit behind everything. All these movements, there's a spirit behind. There's a spirit behind that Brenda movement. When Brenda passed away, they started to idolize him and try to worship the man, and even or as much as they try to baptize in his name. And, man, the garbage that's in there. Yeah. That's what the Lord warned me about when he brought me to the message of Brother Brennan. And the first thing he said, be very careful. There's a lot of danger in there. And I went on that movement with my eyes open and my ears and stopped, and I observed things. And I began to see the very people that are out there that pulpit preaching, they're the most dangerous people. But see, the Lord pulled me through it, and I came on the other side. And then he brought me to Brother Jackson. Here we are. And then he gave us that test. And here we are doing the finishing touches. And the finishing touches, now we're ready to get out of here. We got nothing in this world that has any value. We're just trying to do our level best to be faithful in these closing days of time.
I just want to read here, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, like you were saying, Brother Brenham, see, when you will read here, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, it wasn't Jesus Christ himself that descended, but he has ordinances. God has ordinances in how he does things. And then when you will look at the book of Revelation, when Jesus is standing in the midst of those seven candlesticks, those seven candlesticks are the seven churches of the grace age. Mm-hmm. Within the grace age, there's going to be seven periods of time. And each time period will have a messenger and a message for that specific time frame. And in the Laodicea hour, we had Brother Brenham. Mm-hmm. He was that star, one of those stars that Jesus held in his right hand, that seventh star, that angel relayed a message to Brother Brenham to bring to the people, to humanity who are living in that time frame. And that message was prepare for the coming of the Lord. And that's that shout that you read of here. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Mm-hmm. He came with a shout. Down in Sabina Canyon, and there was a cry made to get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was in 1963 when all that happened. But that message went on until all those virgins got themselves ready, that it speaks of in Matthew. And that's what we did. We got ourselves ready because we heard that shout. We heard that cry that was made at midnight. There was a cry made, and we got ourselves ready. And that's our whole life was focused on that that scripture here to get ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. That's why we can know the time and the all the conditions that are all around us, they're exactly what Jesus was saying, what the end time will be like. And we're living in that end time. And when you will put everything together, that's the next thing that is going to be like when God's going to take home those that have made themselves ready.
See, that happened in 63. But I was not introduced until about 1995 when I heard about God sent the prophet. Mm-hmm. And but what the thing of it is, when I heard it, I received it. Mm-hmm. My heart was open and ready and willing and able to accept the fact that God did send a prophet. And then they told me, you got to get baptized in Jesus' name. And I took a beeline right from 2 days later up at the church. They were, you got church every Wednesday night, and I was in that baptism tank 2 days after I heard God sent the prophet. I did exactly. We were led and guided by that Spirit. Like I say, back in 1963, February 20th, that's when that shout happened. That's when it came down, when those seven angels came down with a shout. And it was midnight of Laodicea, right? Exactly right at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then from there on, it ejected the Christian world, those that were serious with their salvation. It ejected them into the fact that God did send the prophet. Mm-hmm. And there's thousands of people that heard it and then heard the ministry of Brother Branham all around the world. He had a tremendous healing ministry, and we just happened to hear it in 1995. When I heard about it, I yielded and I followed the Lord, and I just was guided by His eyes. And now here we are in these closing days of time. He's given you and I the responsibility to hold on to these things. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for you and I, you wouldn't hear nothing. You wouldn't hear nothing about Brother Jackson, Brother Branham. Yeah, there's a lot of Branhamites out there preaching, Brother, but they're worshiping. They don't have the picture right. To them, they're worshiping the man. Mm-hmm. They're following that Bruce Sermon. You know, that's that anointing that's on them. It's not the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't have the picture right. Mm-hmm. And now you and I, we got the picture right, and then we went to Brother Jackson. The Lord led and guided us. Now that angel is going to speak through the vocal cords to Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. And then when he goes off the scene, the Lord was testing each one of us to see who's going to be found faithful to deliver meat in due season. And here, lo and behold, we're just doing what we're doing, what we've always been doing. Uh-huh. Making ourselves available. Lord, here we are. Do it as you see fit. That's been my prayer ever since the Lord saved. Help me find my place in Christ. And once I find that place, and help me to be faithful to what you've called me to be. And that was the prayer for my children. Lord, help them find their place in Christ. But he's going to have to go through a terrible time to find that place. I had to go through, oh man, I think that I had to go through to get to that place and have a reverence and respect for the Word of God. And now here the Lord found you and I faithful to do what? To deliver that meat and due season and to roll out that living water. That's why I keep saying over and over again, this is the only thing that's left throughout the grace age, from the tail end of the grace age. And once you reject his invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, then that's the final chapter. Mm-hmm. If you reject that, then I'm afraid there'll be no more hope for you. You'll just have to go out and do what it says here.
And that's the human tendency, is to worship something more than the Creator. That's the same way when God took Moses away, they could not find his body. And even like the devil, like when you will read in Jude, it says, when contending with the devil, Michael, the archangel, he disputed about the body of Moses. There was a dispute where the body of Moses was. See? Mm-hmm. And you can see that God did not allow the children of Israel to have a body mm-hmm. of Moses. Because I read one time, and it kind of made sense to me why that would be, that there was no body of Moses. It's because they were to have lifted him up and worship him. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the human tendency to do that. And that's what they did to Brother Branham. Like I was reading the other day that they even said he's the Malachi of this age, the Malachi. See, that's totally wrong what people do. And there's two sides that they can't seem to find a balance. There's mm-hmm. people that totally go against Brother Branham and call him a false prophet. They call him a devil. They call him everything under the sun. And then there's the other ones that worshiping him. See, there's the balance is so tipped off on either sides. Mm-hmm. There's no middle ground. But we take what the Word of God says, that vessel will be here on earth to do what? It says the Son of Man will be revealed. And it was through the ministry of Brother Branham that was done that. Now, was it the man you worship? No, it's the Spirit behind. That's why it says in the scripture that we knew him after the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Not after the flesh, after the man part, but after the Spirit, the message that he was carrying. He was carrying a message, and that behind that is the Spirit of the living God. And if you don't see that, you're going to worship the carnality of things, the man. But we knew him after the Spirit, and that's why we can put him in his right place of who he was and what he meant to us in this day and age. In the same way with Brother Jackson, people don't seem to understand that there's things that Brother Jackson did not have right, mm-hmm. because he was looking at it from such a far distance. And then, of course, there's things that you will not see clearly, and God does not always give the understanding. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Brother Branham was the prophet, and that Brother Jackson continued on with the message after Brother Jackson passed away. He continued speaking the voice, that message that angel was bringing out.
And yeah, it's like exactly like you said. We don't worship a person, mm-hmm. because it says in the days of the voice, it's that voice that, mm-hmm. that we heard. It wasn't the man, because Paul, back there, Paul said, I know no man after the flesh. We know he did not know Brother Branham after the flesh. Mm-hmm. We see that spirit behind it. This is the revelation that God gave to Jesus, the gift to the angel, the gift to Brother Branham. It all originated right from the throne of God, and that's the way you and I function. That's the way you and I operated. Now I'm saying, he's now that spirit comes from heaven. This is the revelation that God gave to Jesus, the gift to the angel, the gift to you and me, that the coming of the Lord is the season of the coming of the Lord. That's why now we're shifting gears. That's all we're talking about. And that's why I say one of these days there will be no more daily breaths going out there on the internet every 9 o'clock, every day at 9 o'clock in the morning. It just won't be there because we won't be here. We'll be gone. This is where the season where this is going to happen. I couldn't say that 20 years ago or 100 years ago because we were not in the season of that. That's what the thing of it is. That's why we top things that's in season. We knew that God sent the prophet. We kept talking and talking about it and exposing it, telling the people all around the world, this is where it's at. God sent this prophet and he, Malachi 4 here in his closing days of time, but now he's shifting gears. Now he's got us right down here, the invitation and the merciful of the Lamb. We could take it or leave it, and we decide once we heard about all that, we just embrace it with a passion. There is no devil in hell that could divert us off. And like I was telling you about Sam stepping in here telling me his mother's not doing very good. She's got all that. And then when I came back from, once I got the revelation of Brother Branham, I came back and the first person I told you was his mom. And I said, and here I come home and here's this book on my desk, you know, anti-Brother Branham book. Mm-hmm. And she got it from her sister over in Brandon, Lena. She's a charismatic Christian. And here this book is sitting there. So I read it and it's all anti-Brother Branham mm-hmm. stuff. And she wanted me to read it. She closed herself off to that Brother Branham stuff, and that's why she's got Alzheimer's, all kinds of health issues, because there comes a time you have a choice to make. God puts it in front of you. Behold, I set before you death and life. And she chose death. She did what she's got now. She made a choice in life. She won't have nothing to do with that Brother Branham stuff. And then that's just the way it is, you know. And you can't. People are given the freedom of choice. You can choose to believe it, or you can choose to reject it. And if you believe it, there's life. Just like exactly like the Lord told me when I heard about Brother Branham, I told these people, this is a cult. I said, it's a bloody cult. I don't believe a word you say, but what I'll do, I'll fast and pray, and if that's true, then the Lord will show me. And then I fasted for 3 days, and the Lord came on to say, this is my prophet. If you believe it, you'll be blessed. And I've been blessed ever since. I chose to believe it. And then I started searching the scripture, and I found it out to be exactly so. God did send the prophet. Malachi 4, here was that prophet. And I just happened to believe it, and throughout by believing it, I took for the water of water baptism in Jesus' name, and then we've been never looked back since. Mm-hmm. We've been having a hallelujah time ever since. That's simply because back then I made a decision. I know it was true.
And
just that simple.
And we were obedient to the word of God. Yeah. And that's the main thing, you know. Obedient to the message for our day and hour. And that's what God was restoring in the last 100 years, in that century of the revival of the Pentecostal hour and restoring of baptism in Jesus' name. And that's, we were just obedient to that voice, to that heavenly voice, to follow what the word of God says, to go and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And that's all that God requires, you know, is being obedient to the word of God and making that choice to line up with the word of God. And there's not going to be no big hallelujah going on, but it's in the end of the day is you're obedient to his word.
See, we've been led by His Spirit, and we've now been led to the place where we are here in these closing days of time, and God's been faithful up till now, and He's going to continue to be faithful. That's why I keep saying over and over again, one day you're not going to hear these daily breads because we'll be gone. It's the only way. Like I say, there's not too many people that right now, like they, we never see anybody. They don't know whether we're here or whether we're somewhere else. And like we don't have nobody coming in to check on it, but see, there'll be one or two people that still listen to on the internet, and they'll wonder why they're not on there anymore. Well, I got to warn you, if they're not there, that's because we're gone. So then, once you're not here, all you know got to do, remember, they are gone, just like Enoch was gone one day. They confined him, and then they realize he's gone. The Lord took him. Now we could go back and read. Enoch walked with God and he was not. Sam and Lorraine walked with God and then they were not. Just that simple. I don't know how simple you can put it, because we're living now in that season of time. Right. So don't be surprised. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be more surprised if he leaves us here, because our work is done here. We've done everything that we know to do. Now we're just kind of repeating everything over and over again, because our work is pretty much done here. Planet Earth. We're just now just looking to the Lord to get us out of here. Give us that body change. Behold, the Lord was sent with a shout. That happened in 63. And then 40, 50, 60, 100 years later, there comes that voice of that archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we that are alive will be changed at a moment and the twinkling of an eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's a process. Like I keep telling you about that blueprint. If you're just reading the blueprint, and as time goes on, that blueprint that God wrote, made back before the foundation of the world, now we're here in these closing days of time, and Satan will be no more. It's just following the stream. That's what I'm trying to say. Right. Because God's got it all pegged out. He knows the beginning from the end, and up just up right now, right? What we're, you and I are saying, 100% accurate. It was 100% accurate up till now, and now God is moving us. I'm getting ready to get out of this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. And that's where we're, that's the season we're in. But see, people don't hear us. Mm-hmm. It'll have to be something like that for people to pay attention to what we've been saying here for the last umpteen years, you know? Because otherwise, they don't take us serious, if you know what I'm trying to say. They don't really hear us. They hear of us, but you got to hear it in such a way, he that hath an ear, let him hear. What does that mean? That means if you really, truly hear what we're saying, you're going to do exactly what we're saying, because you hear us with your spirit. You hear us with not just with your outer ear. You hear us with your inner ear, to the point where you're going to do something about it. Just like when the Lord told me, same, I'm coming soon, I did something about it. And then when I heard about the prophet, I heard something. I did it. I now headed for the water of baptism. I believed that I did something about it. And then the next thing I did, I went and told everybody that I knew. Even though they didn't believe it, it's still the truth, you know. And that's what we're doing to this day. We're telling people, here we are now in these closing days of time. And like I say, if you don't hear these daily breath, because there's nobody here to deliver them. It's just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks, Lord, for the many things you do for us. I know we just never can express our gratitude enough, Lord. And there's many times that according to the human nature, we fail to give you all the praise and glory that you deserve, Lord. And we just want to let people know that, you know, like the song says, we've been faithful to the service that we have given, you have given us, Lord, because you let us see, Lord, that you sent a prophet, Lord, and then you sent a chief apostle to turn us back to the faith of the early church. And we're just letting people know what you've done in this glorious hour of the Laodicea church age, Lord. And we just want to be found faithful to that, Lord, what you've allowed us to see and to let people know where you were at, Lord, and that they can serve a true and living God, Lord, not a religious God, but the real God, the God of the Bible, Lord, that the creator of all things, Lord, not the creation. So we just want to let people know that, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.